Now, Jehoiakim, he's now the king. He was 25 years old when he began to reign over the kingdom of Judah. The northern kingdom, I'll just remind you before we finish this book tonight, I'll remind you, northern kingdom has already gone into captivity. The Assyrians, northeast there, the Assyrians have taken them. They're gone. There is no northern kingdom. It's gone. Judah has been so disobedient. They were supposed to learn from what God says. You should have learned from your sister. Your sister played the prostitute and went after other gods, and I allowed her to go into captivity. You should have learned from watching her what not to do, but you haven't learned. Now, Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Zebudah, the daughter of Pedaiah of Rumah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done. He is doing what is wrong. Now, the temple, I'm just going to remind you what you already learned. The temple and the palace, Solomon put those together. Do you recall? And that was a long time ago. As a matter of fact, it was almost 400 years. We've gone through that kind of time since we've been studying this book together. It didn't feel like it, I know. It felt long, I agree, but it didn't feel like 400 years. But now 400 years, just about, have taken place. Four centuries. From the time that Solomon built the palace and the house of the Lord to what we're going to take a look at now. 400 years, and most of those kings were wicked during this time. They wouldn't listen. And prophet after prophet after prophet came along and continued to say, you better stop it. You better turn around. You better be good. You better not pout. You remember what the prophet said. I'll just see if you're listening. Christmas is coming. You know, I'm excited. You're looking for snow. I'm just looking for food, man. You know, Jeremiah is alive right now, and we're going to start chapter 24. Jeremiah, he's the prophet, he's the man, and he was called the weeping prophet. He was in jail a lot. Jeremiah had a felony record. You'd never hire him on your church staff. But he continued to tell them, this isn't going to work, you better turn. You better turn, or it's not going to happen any longer. Destruction is coming, you better stop. You better listen. Who listened? Well, in his days, whose days? Jehoiakim, who was 25 years old when he began to reign. In verse 36, verse 37 of the last chapter, he did that which was evil. So, in his days, chapter 24, verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up. You've heard of Nebuchadnezzar. He's the king of Babylon. Babylon is an up-and-coming power. They've defeated Egypt. They're starting to become rulers over the known world. This is going to be the first major kingdom ruling over the earth, Gentile kingdom. And you'll see Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. We'll see that later on in Daniel. And in that dream, the image had a head of gold. And Nebuchadnezzar, he's the king, you know, and he's told, Daniel tells him, you, O king, are that head of gold, the greatest of the Gentile kingdoms was the Babylonian Empire. Here come the Babylonians, and they've taken over Egypt. Now they're going to take this little place called Israel. Matter of fact, most northern Israel is gone. They're going to take Judah, this southern land. Nebuchadnezzar came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant for 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled. He tried to fight Nebuchadnezzar. For 3 years, he was under Nebuchadnezzar's rule. Now, if you're interested in dates, in approximately 605 BC, Nebuchadnezzar came rolling into town. And he took Jerusalem and the southern kingdom of Judah. All of Egypt and the nations that Egypt had subdued were now under Babylonian rule. To include Israel, Judah, Jerusalem, the city of the great king, David. It was in this first major invasion that a young man was taken prisoner, probably at about 14 to 15 years old. His name was Daniel. In the first invasion Nebuchadnezzar made, after he took Jerusalem, he took captives with him. And within those captives were Daniel and some of his friends. Their names later changed to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember the three children? They didn't bow, they didn't burn. Or they didn't bow, they didn't bend, they didn't burn. Remember those three? But Nebuchadnezzar comes in. Daniel and his friends are taken captive, all the way taken over to Babylon, way over to the Euphrates there. Daniel will never come home ever again. He will always want to go home. He will be homesick until the day he dies. He will always want to go back to Israel. He will pray three times a day, facing toward the great city, hoping that he can go back, and he will never go back. It never stopped him from serving his God. It never stopped him from doing the will of the Lord. Notice, you can still have a longing in your heart, never get that longing fulfilled, and still be used by God and still obey God. And that's going to happen to Daniel. I don't want to get there. That's a whole other book, isn't it? Got to be careful. The Lord sent against him, the king, bands of the Chaldees and bands of the Syrians and bands of the Moabites and bands of the children of Ammon, and he sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by his servants, the prophets. Jeremiah is saying, you guys, trouble is coming. You better be prepared. Now, have we been telling the world now? Aren't we telling them trouble's coming? Now, the world's afraid their computers aren't going to work. I mean, now I notice on the radio and on television and every place you look, Y2K is now resurfacing. Has anybody noticed that? And it's coming back with a vengeance. And now everybody that's fundamentalist that doesn't preach about Y2K is bad and is stupid and is going to probably die. Or as fundamentalist, Mr. Mouth, the president of Minnesota, would say. They call him the body, but I think he's the mouth. He is big, though. The prophets have been saying trouble. Listen, when I tell you that trouble is coming in America, I don't mean for you to run out and buy a new computer. You can if you like, and if you can afford that, God bless you. But you see, the trouble is going to be way beyond economics and way beyond technology. The trouble is because people refuse to turn. God gave those people from Solomon building that temple almost 400 years. They would not turn completely. I don't know how many he's going to give us, but the truth is we are so far down the wrong path that we had better wise up as people and stop the complaining and stop the ugliness, stop the sins that are in my life and yours, and get them out and away from us and become children of the King. Nebuchadnezzar is going to destroy this city because, see, the first invasion, he makes three complete invasions. The first invasion, he took captives, and for a while the king laid low, but then rebelled. So God sent even more trouble in. Why? The prophet said God would. Surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah. Notice, it was God's commandment. This trouble is coming because God commands it so. Remember, they were given this promised land forever. Now that's the truth. Israel was given this promised land. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the children of Israel, children of Jacob, they were given this promised land forever. But they weren't guaranteed they could always live in it forever. There was a stipulation. You must obey me and walk before me and follow me. It'll still be your land, but I'll take you out of it and send you into captivity, into suffering. There is suffering coming in our land, in the lives of the people that you and I know. And it's not because of technology. It's because of the sin in the lives of the people who refuse to turn around. We need to begin to hate what God hates. And we don't. We as people need to repent and begin to hate what God hates. When God says, I hate sin, we need to start to say the same thing. Then I want to hate it too. I don't want to get near it. And when God, you know, when God tells us how to live, we need to want to live it. We need to want to go the extra mile. We want to become, by the power of the Holy Spirit, doers of what we have written here in His Word. Even at the cost of our own lives. Even at the cost of our own fortunes. Even at the cost of our own reputations. That's expensive. Well, on the earth, it's really not worth anything. Well, surely, verse 3, the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah, to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh according to all that he did. Remember how wicked and evil Manasseh was. Probably that's when the Shekinah glory left the temple. God just left. And also for the innocent blood that he shed. Are we shedding innocent blood now ourselves in this country? I just saw... We don't have our TV hooked up, but I just saw on the internet. I checked the news because I'm a news junkie. I know they're lying, but it's still interesting. That in Spokane, some lady stabbed her daughter to death. What was she, 7 or 8 years old? The daughter. She stabbed her to death and then tried to kill herself, but she didn't die. You see, and then the babies that are being put to death, over 1.5 million a year. You know, that's a big number. And I would like to warn you, just as Jeremiah warned every one of us, that we are not going to get away with it. We will not get away with it just because we're American. And that's what we're learning when we read through the books of 1 and 2 Kings. We're not going to get away with this. We had better be crying out on our knees for our own lives and for this country. Because God commanded that this trouble come upon them, to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh according to all that he did, and also for the innocent blood that he shed. For he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. God said no. And see, the people were refusing to turn and repent. Now, the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and all that he did, they're written in the book of Chronicles. If you'd like to read through the book of Chronicles, you read details. Jehoiakim died. It was... When it says slept with his fathers, that's what it means. They were dead, he died too. And Jehoiachin, his son, reigned in his place. Now I want you to know, if you've read through the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah the prophet despised King Jehoiakim. He despised him. He had nothing good to say about this king. He continued to say, you're in charge, you need to repent, and the whole country with you. He wouldn't do it. And the king continually tried to put Jeremiah to death and continually put him in prison. He didn't want to hear it. People don't want to hear these kinds of things. They want to hear fun things, nice things. Well, Jehoiakim did die. And his son Jehoiachin reigned in this place. And the king of Egypt did not come again anymore out of his land. They were depending on the king of Egypt to help. See, the king of Babylon had taken, notice closely in verse 7, he had taken the land from the river of Egypt to the river Euphrates and all that pertained to the king of Egypt. Now that ought to ring a bell in your head, in your heart. He took the land from the river of Egypt, down south there, over to the far east, the river Euphrates. What does that remind you of? That was the very amount of property promised to Israel. From the river to the south in Egypt there, all the way to the great river Euphrates. That's what God promised his people. But because of disobedience, he's making sure that every bit of it, they're held out of it and away from it. Jehoiachin, was 18 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. And his mother's name was Nehushta, the daughter of Elnathan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father had done. At the time, or at that time, servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. Once again, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city, and his servants besieged it. They surrounded the city. Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon. He and his mother, his servants, his princes, his officers, and the king of Babylon took him in the 8th year of his reign. Jehoiachin. And he carried out there all the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king's house, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord, as the Lord had said. And he carried away all Jerusalem, and all the princes, all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives. He killed many, many people, and took 10,000 prisoners back to Babylon. And all the craftsmen and smiths, that means those who worked with metals or iron, none remained, except he left the poorest sort of people in the land. Why would he leave the poorest of the people? He didn't want the land to be overgrown and become garbage. So he left a few there to work some of the land. But all the important people were taken captive. 10,000. Notice that the Lord was angry. By the way, here's something that Christians ought to take note of. In those 10,000 that were taken, one of them, his name was Ezekiel. Remember him? A major prophet of God. He's going to talk about the Israel coming back into their land someday. And Gog and Magog attacking from the north, being pulled down by a hook in their jaw. That's Ezekiel. That tells me something. It's an ugly thing to tell me, but it tells me something. See, we are not exempt just because we're born again. We belong to God, yes. But when things fall apart, they will fall apart in our lives too. We are not exempt. We are living like, well, we're Christians. Nothing's going to happen. Hey, listen, we need to be crying out to God. Are you praying for the country, for the leadership? Are you calling out? Are you confessing? Should we be confessing all our sins? If my people called by my name will repent, turn from their wicked ways, cry out, call unto me. I'm not giving you the right order, but you pick the order. I think the first part of the order should be, we should be confessing our very own sins, not just the sins of our land, not just the sins of our leadership. We're quick at pointing fingers at how bad they are, but the truth is, it's got to start with me, and it's got to work its way out. I need to confess. I need to come before the Lord. Is that what you're doing? He's destroyed the house of God. Do you remember? Right here you read, he carried all the treasures of the house of the Lord, verse 13, treasures of the house. And he took all the silver and the gold. Do you remember? He took it back to Babylon. Remember what he did with it? He just kind of put it in this storage room, locked it away. And what did his grandson do? One day, went in there and pulled it out and had a big party using that stuff. Do you remember? And that very night, the Medes and the Persians took over because a hand appeared out of nowhere and wrote on the wall, "You've been weighed in the balance and found wanting." Weighed, and found wanting. You can remember, meeny, meeny, tickle you, parson. And the handwriting is on the wall. And so since then we've been saying it to one another, man, look what's going on. The handwriting is on the wall. It's too late now. While that hand was writing, the enemy had come in without one shot fired. And Babylon, that great kingdom, was destroyed instantly. And these are the things that belong to God that were made for the Lord, for the Lord's service. And he carried away all those people. Verse 15, carried away Jehoiachin to Babylon, king's mother, king's wives, his officers, the mighty of the land, those carried he into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. And all the men of might, even 7,000, and craftsmen and smiths, 1,000. Excuse me, all that were strong and able to fight or apt to war. Even them, the king of Babylon, brought captive to Babylon. What's he doing? He's going to make sure that there is no more uprising or rebellion. You take away everything they can do, take away everything they have, leave a few poor people to work and plant some tomatoes so the ground doesn't go to waste, and now you've got it. They cannot rebel. They can't rise up. There's nobody to rise up. All the talented people, all the educated people, all the men of war that graduated from the war college, they're all gone now. Many of them put to death. Most of them will never see their home again. And the king of Babylon made Mattaniah, his father's brother, king in his place. And the king of Babylon changed Mattaniah's name to Zedekiah. And I'm sure you probably recognize that name. Zedekiah, he was 21 when he began to reign. And he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. Not the Jeremiah that you know. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord, it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, until he cast them out from his presence. Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. Did you guys notice that we just read together? The Lord was angry because of the apostasy of Judah. So he cast them out of his presence. He was angry. Does God get mad? The Lord, because of his anger, cast out from the land that he claimed as his own, where he said, I will put my name forever, Jerusalem, I will put my name forever there. That'll be called the city of God, Jerusalem. Yet he cast his people out of it because of their apostasy. Now, if he was willing to do that to the children of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, do you think that he would continue to do the same things here today? And will he take this away from us if we don't repent? Jeremiah's message wasn't very positive, and Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. He cried a lot. Now, I do hear prophets on the radio, and they're having all these visions, and I haven't had any of those things. I haven't been to heaven. I haven't seen submarines attacking America. I haven't. So I can't really honestly tell you that there will be a nuclear exchange Thursday and so many people. I can't tell you anything, but I know that this country is refusing to listen. And I know what will happen to every one of us if we refuse to listen. God, in his anger, and God has not changed and never will, in his anger, he put them out of his presence. Well, remember now, the palace and the temple had been standing for about 4 centuries, almost 400 years. It came to pass in the 9th year of his reign, in the 10th month, in the 10th day of the month. Now we're getting pretty specific here. Nebuchadnezzar the king came for the third time. And he's about had it up to here with these people in Judah. He and all of his army came against Jerusalem. Now that's a big army to come against a little city. And they built forts against it round about. And the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. And on the 9th day of the 4th month, the famine prevailed in the city, and there was nothing for the people to eat in all the land. So now the Jews that are still there, who have rebelled, are going to starve. And the city was broken up. And all the men of war ran away. They tried to escape at night by the way of the gate between two walls, which is by the king's garden. And the Chaldees were against the city round about, surrounding it. And the king went the way toward the plain. The king himself tried to escape with some of the soldiers at night just to get away from this trouble. And the army of the Chaldeans pursued after the king, overtook him in the plains of Jericho, and all his army was scattered from him. So they took the king, verse 6, brought him up to the king of Babylon, to Riblah. That's where the king had his headquarters, right near Jerusalem there. And they gave judgment upon him. And they killed his sons, Zedekiah's sons, in front of him. That's to make sure that nobody takes over the throne. And then they put out Zedekiah's eyes. So that the last thing he saw was his each one of his sons being put to death right before his eyes. And now he is blind. Now see, if you've got a blind king, he's not going to be so, it's not going to be so easy to lead the next rebellion. Someone else is going to have to do it because the king can't do it now. And they've tied him with chains of brass. And they took him to Babylon. So now he's in chains and he's blinded. And in the fifth month on the seventh day of the month, which is the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, a servant of the king, came to Jerusalem. He burnt the house of the Lord. Now the temple is completely destroyed. And the king's house, the palace, and all the houses of Jerusalem, and every great man's house burnt he with fire. All the rich houses. He's destroying the city. He's going to level the city so that no uprising can take place. This city is going to almost be gone. And all the army of the Chaldees that were with the captain of the guard, they broke down the walls of Jerusalem. Why would you tear the walls down? Why would you literally just knock the walls down around the entire city so that it cannot be defended in any way against an enemy? So that it will never be able to rise up again. Now the rest of the people that were left in the city and the fugitives that fell away to the king of Babylon with the remnant of the multitude, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, he carried them away. But the captain of the guard left the poor again out on the land to be vine dressers and husbandmen. They didn't want the land to turn to desert, so they leave a few poor people who couldn't uprise and do anything to just grow a few things. The pillars of brass that were in the house of the Lord and the bases and the brazen sea that was in the house of the Lord, the Chaldees broke it in pieces and carried the brass to Babylon. And the pots and the shovels and the snuffers and the spoons and all the vessels of brass wherewith they ministered, they took those away. The fire pans and the bowls and such things as were of gold and gold and of silver and silver, the captain of the guard took those away. The two pillars, one sea and the bases, which Solomon made for the house of the Lord, verse 16. The brass of all the vessels, which was without weight, so much. The height of one pillar was 18 cubits. A cubit probably being about 18 to 21 inches. And the catheter upon it was brass. And the height of the catheter, 3 cubits. And the wreathen work and the pomegranates upon the catheter round about, all of brass. And like unto these had the second pillar with wreathen work. Here's what he's doing. He's letting you know they actually got into the temple, and he's describing parts and pieces for you to let you know they even went into the Holy of Holies, broke the whole thing down. There, he's giving you specifics so you'll know this wasn't just, well, we'll destroy the temple, but we won't touch the Holy of Holies. That's a pretty sacred place for those Jews. No, they're destroying everything that has to do with God's temple. And remember, this is because of the anger of the Lord. You continue on. Out of the city, verse 19. Oh, wait. Verse 18. The captain of the guard took Seraiah, the chief priest, and Zephaniah, the second priest, and the three keepers of the door. And out of the city he took an officer that was set over the men of war, and 5 men of them that were in the king's presence, which were found in the city, and the principal scribe of the host, which mustered the people of the land, and 60 men, that's 60 men of the people of the land, that were found in the city. And Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, took these, brought them to Babylon, to the king of Babylon, to Riblah, which is where his headquarters were near Jerusalem. The king of Babylon killed them. The high priest, you notice, he put them all to death. He slew them at Riblah in the land of Hamath, so Judah was carried away out of their land. Didn't God say, your sister was carried away? Don't act like your sister, or you will be carried away too. Hasn't God been warning and warning and warning? If you do not turn, you will suffer. If you will not turn, if you turn your back on the Lord will put you away. God has not changed. We can see trouble on the horizon. And I mean real trouble, not just possibly not having a dial tone. I'm talking about real life trouble where people, men and women and children, suffer. Suffering needlessly because of a choice to ignore the Lord their God. and people practicing those kinds of practices that are forbidden by God, there's a price going to be paid. No one is getting away with this. Don't even act like you think it's all right, because any time God says it's an abomination, you can believe payday is coming for those who choose to disobey the Lord their God. That's why I am so grateful. Salvation is by grace. I cannot get any better. And so Jesus came and died for me and saved my life. Now, He bought me with a price. Now my life is no longer mine but His. How should I live? Should I really be complaining about my wages? Should I really be complaining about what I live in? Should I really be complaining? Or should I be grateful and thankful and just want to love and to share and to tell anybody that we can, however we can tell them, whether it's radio, television, tape, whatever, however we can tell them that there is good news, but the good news is only in Jesus Christ. There is bad news, there is gloom and doom headed for the entire world. And that's the truth. But there is good news if you are in Jesus Christ. This is not the time to be saying something foolish like, well, I haven't made my mind up yet. This is hell we're talking about. This is suffering and punishment for eternity. There is a lake that burns with fire that churches around this town teach doesn't exist. But God created it just as clear and well as He created what you're sitting on and where you live right now. Hell is real. It's a lake of fire. And people will be in there who reject an offer of mercy. Now, verse 22, as for the people that remained in the land of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, left, even over them he made Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, ruler. He put a guy in the king's spot. He put a guy there named Gedaliah, or some people say Jedaliah. Here's something that you might find interesting, if nothing else. Gedaliah was a good friend of Jeremiah, the prophet. They were buddies. And when Jeremiah said, Babylon is going to come in, don't fight them and it will go well with you. When Jeremiah said that, the false prophet said, no way, it's going to be this, it's going to be that. And people listened to the false prophets, but Gedaliah, he didn't listen. He listened to Jeremiah. So he was accused of being pro-Babylonian-ish, if that's a term we're allowed to use. He said, oh man, you love the Babylonians. No, I believe what God has to say, and I'm going to listen to God and do what God says. The other king suffered, they put his eyes out, but Gedaliah, he's made king now in his place. Interesting to note also, when all the captains of the armies, they and their men heard the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah governor, there came to Gedaliah to Mizpah, even Ishmael the son of that guy, and Johanan the son of Kareah, and Syria the son of that person there, and Netophathite, Jehazah the son of that big name there. They came to him. You try this. Now I see why you don't read out of the King James. It was Bill and Fred and Frank is what we really, we'll give them American names. Mizpah is about 8 miles north of Jerusalem. Now Gedaliah is the king. He's a friend of Jeremiah. And here's what kind of interesting. From that time, 605 and a few years following, some of the stuff that has been dug up by archaeologists, they found some inscriptions from that time. And those inscriptions here are interesting. They refer to Jehoiachin as Judah's last king. Now, isn't that interesting? The Jews did not accept Nebuchadnezzar's putting someone else on the throne. They refer to Jehoiachin as the last king. He's considered the last king of Israel, of Judah. And so here we've got a king, Gedaliah, He's there living in Mizpah, running the organization. Why would he live at Mizpah? Easy, you just read that Jerusalem is gone. It is so destroyed that a young man is going to come back. Nehemiah. Ezra. And Nehemiah, they're going to look at this city and the walls so destroyed and the temple, everything so messed up that they are going to literally think it's impossible to rebuild this place. Nehemiah is going to say, it can be done. It is so destroyed, I'm not sure it could actually be rebuilt. Hey, Jerusalem has been rebuilt a few times right over the place it has always been. And so when you go over there now, if you get a chance to take a tour, you'll go over there and they say, walk the streets that Jesus walked. You're not walking the streets that Jesus walked. The streets he walked are about 30 feet below where you're standing, because they've been building on top of that city. Each time it's rubbled into ruins and blasted and whatever, they just build right on top of the same spot. Because that's the city of the great king. Well, anyway, it's so destroyed that Nehemiah thinks it can't be fixed. But good old Nehemiah, he just said, we'll do it anyway. I like Nehemiah's attitude. When we get to the book of Nehemiah, you'll like that, because they try to trick him and to get him to stop working. And he says one of the things that all of us ought to be saying. Nehemiah. They say, come on. They're trying to trick him and to get him to stop working on the wall. And they say to him, hey, Nehemiah, come on over here. And Nehemiah says, I can't. I am doing a great work for the Lord and I can't stop. That's what you ought to be saying, every one of you. They say, hey, why don't you come over here and sin? Why don't you guys do this? You know what, man, I can't. I am doing a great work for God, and I can't stop to do that. I got to keep on serving. I like the attitude. Okay, anyway. It came to pass. Well, verse 24. Gedaliah swore to them, to their men, said to them, don't be afraid. Fear not the servants of the Chaldeans. Dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon. It'll be well with you. See, he was called pro-Babylon. They didn't like him. But he was doing what God had said. This is of my doing, God said. Listen to me, trust me, and I'll take care of it. So the king's doing it. Came to pass in the seventh month, Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama, of the seed royal, came and 10 men with him, and they murdered Gedaliah. And he died. They just didn't like him. And the Jews, the Chaldeans, were with him at Mizpah. And all the people, both small and great, and the captains of the armies arose. They came to Egypt, for they were afraid of Chaldeans. They left the country and they fled to Egypt to get away from the Chaldeans and to also get away from the Babylonian troops. Came to pass in the 7th and 30th year, 37th year of captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, that Evil-Merodach, the new king of Babylon, who took over after Nebuchadnezzar, in the year that he began to reign, he lifted up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, out of prison. That's the one that was blinded and saw his sons killed. The new king, what a name, would you like this? Evil-Merodach. Bob is so much better. But anyway, king of Babylon, in the year he began to reign, he lifted up the head of the king. That doesn't mean he cut his head off. That means he took him out of prison. Now, history tells us that Jehoiachin probably, in prison, blinded, suffering, actually began to cry out to God and to repent from his evilness and his ugliness. You want to see how merciful God is? You never give up on God, and he never gives up on you. This king is now brought out of the prison, and he spoke kindly to him, set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon. Put him on a throne, changed his prison garments, gave him nice clothes, and he got to eat food continually all the days of his life there at the king's table. He's now treated as a king again. He repented, and God heard that cry. And his allowance was a continual allowance given him of the king, a daily rate for every day, all the days of his life. He was given all that he wanted. He was even given nice clothes. It was kind of like minimum security, I guess we'd say, prison, because of his repentance. I like that. God, we quit now. We're finished with the book of 2 Kings. But it doesn't end on a negative note. Oh yeah, there's no Judah no more. It are destroyed. Many thousands of men and women were put to death, raped, murdered. It was ugly. God warned and warned and warned. You don't want this. You do not want what's coming. Listen to me. Turn from your wicked ways. Cry out to me. I will be your God. You will be my people. I have made you promises, but I'm guaranteeing you, if you won't listen, I will allow this to be. So all you have to do is stop. Just stop right now and turn. Today, we're telling people. People are laughing. The book of 2 Kings ends really positively. Here's an evil king whose heart is changed, and God is merciful to him even in his old age. Let me read you something that Jeremiah wrote in the book of Lamentations. Before we share communion, he wrote this, and he's the weeping prophet. And in chapter 3, starting in verse 21, this is what Jeremiah writes. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions do not fail. They are new every morning. And then he makes a statement, great is thy faithfulness. Not mine, not theirs. Great is thy faithfulness. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions do not fail. They are brand new every day. Great is thy faithfulness. You know who wrote that? Jeremiah. You know where Jeremiah is when this book ends? If you've read the book of Jeremiah, you already know. Yes, he was taken prisoner by his own people down into Egypt against his own will. And there he writes in Lamentations, everything's fallen apart. I don't want to be here. I want to be in my own country. But my own people have taken, and they put him in prison, by the way. And there he is in a foreign country in prison. And what does he say? He says, it is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions do not fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God is good. God is faithful. We learn from watching all these kings, some good, some not good. We learn how to walk with Jesus. We learn how to be Christians. And there's a way that seems right to people today. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof leads to death. The way the world is going is not the way you want to be going. We're going to share communion together now, and I would like to encourage you, if there's anything at all that's in your heart that doesn't belong, don't excuse it, don't explain it, don't defend it. Repent and give it over to the Lord before we share communion. If you're angry with someone, get rid of it. I didn't say they don't deserve it. I just said if you're angry with someone, you get rid of that. If you're bitter, if you're even hating, those are things that are not going to bring glory to God. They are not going to put you where you think they're going to put you. If you're holding something against someone, whether they are right or wrong, if you're holding something against someone, turn it over. Cast all your cares on Jesus. Give it to him. Because notice, none of us are getting away with any of this. God is giving us time, yes, but no one gets away with it. As a Christian, I don't get away with anything. As a Christian, you don't. Are you upset? Husbands and wives? Are you being mean to one another? Stop it. That's not what God wants from you. Maybe that person deserves it. But the truth is, you want to return good for evil. And Jesus even says, when you're forced to go 1 mile, go 2. Forgive from your heart. And he even taught us to pray, forgive us our trespasses, our debts, as we forgive those who have debts against us or trespasses against us. We forgive completely just as you forgive us.